Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Zubaz, and welcome to the fifth, or at least fifth and a half, Threads of Time podcast. Tonight, I am joined by Rent for Free, but before we get to Rent, I wanted to give a shout out to this week's sponsor, FakeBB.com. Just when you were thinking, I like fake fantasy baseball, but CSFBL isn't fake enough. FakeBB.com. FakeBB.com creates a fake economy of fake baseball cards that link to fake player cards from a fake fantasy-based online simulation. FakeBB.com. It's a great place to go fake yourself. And now, on with the show. Six thousand three hundred remembered so clear. 6,351 Sims. How do you measure your success here? In highlights, a brunette, in forum fights in the trade market, with pictures, pedophiles, batters, or real life. In 6,351 Sims, how do you measure your success here? How about rings? How about rings? How about rings? Measured on the curve. All right, and we are live. I am with the man that is known as the most dangerous, the fastest, the longest, the strongest competitor in CSFBL history, Rent for Free, some numbers. Hey, Rent.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great, how are you?
Not too bad. It's a nice day here.
Yeah. Where are you now, Chicago?
Yeah, right now I'm still in Chicago.
We could have done this thing in person.
If I wanted to drive up to Madison, it's only a few hours. It's actually not too bad.
Actually, you know, it's funny. I was this morning, I've gotten this fascination with sensory deprivation tanks recently, and there's a float lab, like a really good one, a really high-end one in Chicago, and I was like, I wonder if I should drive to Chicago, and I was like, nah, I got to do this podcast. Well, my dumb ass, I could have done that.
Yeah, you could have done it.
And hung out with you.
You could have done it in the sensory deprivation chamber.
I could have done it in my
set up a rig over there.
Yeah. That would have been kind of creepy.
Yeah.
So,
pretty much,
where do you live in Chicago?
I'm as you could probably guess from my team name, I'm actually in Bucktown, which is like a really nothing little part of the city that nobody really knows. It's like a quiet. Just a little west of the Loop downtown area. It's actually really nice. Unfortunately, I'm only going to be here for another week before we trek up and go across the country.
How long have you been in Chicago?
Moved here right after I graduated, basically. So it's been a little under 2 years.
I like Chicago.
It's really nice. Really nice in the summer. It's a fantastic summer city. When all the patios and everything, all the restaurants, outdoor seating, it's amazing and it's the best. The other, 11 and a half months of the year are pretty tough, though.
I was going to say, I like it and hate it for different reasons. Like, it's just a great city. I love New York City, but it just gets too painful with the people that are there. And Chicago is that same type of big city, but it still has Midwestern people there. Like, when I walk around in New York, people could care less if you were dead on the street. They just walk right over you.
That's fair. I kind of like that in some ways.
You're not dead.
I don't care. I'm not dead. And if I saw a dead person, I wouldn't want to touch them. So I'm also, I'm from New York, so I have more familiarity with that anyway. So, I mean, the Midwest is cute and charming, but I'm not too upset to go back home.
Did you just drop a cute on us? That
yeah,
sounded
pretty much.
Insulting, yeah.
I've been here for like 6 years. I have some say on what the Midwest is like now.
So, but you're not from New York City itself originally.
Yeah, the suburbs, not too far out. It's close enough where you definitely claim that you're from the city, and you just hope nobody asks more questions after that.
Yeah, well, at least you're in the state of New York. Everybody from New Jersey and Connecticut claim New York City too.
Yeah, I mean, actually, depending on where you are in Jersey, like I have a friend from New Jersey who grew up. She was 20 minutes away from the city. I was 40, so different state, but. In all, if we were to meet in Midtown Manhattan, she would get there way before me.
Did she smell like garbage?
Not anymore.
They
cleanse the stench.
I feel like everybody I meet from New Jersey has a stench of garbage on them.
It's just North Jersey. I don't know if you've ever been around to like the Meadowlands and stuff like that. It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
It's not a particularly lovely state to drive through or anything like that on the turnpike. So,
but then
it has that reputation.
Well, and then, but there is a lot of money in New Jersey. I know, like for graduation weekend, which is coming up in Madison, a lot of well-to-do Jewish families. They have a lot of people that go to Wisconsin for some reason, and they're doing just fine for themselves.
Yeah, well, people do just fine for themselves in lots of places, but yeah, there's rich people there. There's in certain parts it can be very nice.
So I started with the rent for free name.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me, where did that name come from?
Well, we're starting right off. I should have put this on one of my off limit topics.
Oh
no, it's you have to remember. I think I signed up for this game in 2005. So I'm gonna show my age right here as the youngest member, and still 9 years later, still the youngest member of TCL. I was 15 years old at that point. So. Imagine, any kind of impressionable, dumb 15-year-old. I had just seen the musical Rent and was blown away by it, I guess. And it was the most clever thing that my 15-year-old, it was like, it's Rent, but it's free. And it just came together into one horrific name that I haven't dropped in the decade since.
I'm so glad I asked you about this. So you're into
music? I'm amazed it hasn't. I don't even know if it's ever come up.
I don't know if it has either.
In a decade. It's, I feel like we should have at least, we had, bags where he just liked bags or something like that. But like, yeah, I don't know. I guess I just never answered.
Or maybe it came up, but since you were under 18, we didn't want to accuse you of being gay.
Well, I mean, if we're going to go there, actually, as I'll start off with this story right now, I played, my first stint in the league for the first 4 years or so. I was in high school and living at home, obviously. And, you can only hide something like this for so long. And so gradually members of my family noticed that I was spending obscene amounts of time on a message board with, talking to strangers and playing fake fantasy baseball or something. They couldn't wrap their heads around, like, it's baseball, but they're not real. I don't understand. But more importantly was the fact that I was playing with other people. And they were like, who are these people? And I was like, well, that's just a bunch of dudes who are, 10, 15 years older than me. And
right.
They're like, but you're, 15, 16 years old. And I was like, it's fine. So somehow, I don't even know how, just everyone in the league, just became known collectively as a group as the pedophiles. And so it'd be like, what are you doing? Like, why are you going, go to bed. It's too late. Stop talking to the pedophiles. And like, I'd slink away from the dinner table. And they'd be like, you're just going upstairs to go talk to the pedophiles some more. So, to this day, my parents say like, how are those Honolulu surfboards and the rest of those pedophiles? And I don't really have a response to that whenever they ask, but, it's,
that's amazing.
Yeah. It's lasted a long time in my family.
So now, okay. So secondary question, did they know any of our screen names, and did they think any one of us in particular was a bigger pedophile than the other?
No, I don't think it ever got the digging ever got deep enough to be like, like that, that Mets GM sounds like the biggest pedophile of them all. I think you were just all equally, 23 pedophiles, you get 1/23rd of a share each as a pedophile.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. So, but you never Have you met anybody from the league?
I have not. I think honestly the closest I got was I stayed a summer. I spent a summer at Brown, and when Barroom Hero was in the league, and there was like some talk of like, because he lived like I think like 15 minutes away from the campus or whatever, so we very easily could have like met up for lunch or whatever. But I don't know. I was scared. I didn't really particularly want to do it. I had this one joke that I was just gonna like. Because I knew he had like a dog or whatever, so whenever I saw somebody walking a dog, I would just yell out "Kaboom!" Because I think that was his nickname somehow. At some point, so I just like would just say "Kaboom!" and people would look at me weirdly, and nobody ever actually turned their head. So the meetup never came to fruition. But no, I've never met in person with anyone.
He was a good guy. Well,
It
he
was
is a
funny.
good guy. He came to Louisville, and he was the only one that came to Louisville that hadn't met the rest of the group before. And so we were, and he also just happened to have the last flight. So myself, Aztecs, Lemke, and Clone were sitting in the airport bar waiting for him. And we had already had a couple drinks in us. So we decided that when he showed up, we were going to put a really fruity drink in front of him. And I don't remember what we got him, but it just had probably, I don't know, 13, 14 different pieces of fruit coming out of it, an umbrella.
Sounds delicious, to be
Well, yeah, we just
honest.
thought that would be what he would be into, and yeah, he was a lot of fun. He really does love that dog too. That was his, I think, avatar for quite a while.
Yeah, for a very long time. That's how I knew. I think that's how I knew he had a dog. I was just gonna be like, looking for the happy looking golden retriever and see if it matched up to a little 2x2 inch picture on a internet.
Yeah, that is strange. I bet that was kind of tough for your parents to deal with when you're 15, 16, they trust you, but even back then the internet was still kind of the Wild West and you
Yeah,
didn't really know who was on it and if they were real and
I think I got away with them just mostly pleading ignorance and still don't really know how a lot of it works. I actually had a similar story. I don't know if anyone else in the league. I feel like Clone might have, but I could totally be wrong about this. There was something called the Kill Everyone Project. Does that sound at all familiar?
it does vaguely.
It's like it was probably the dumbest thing ever. I'm amazed somebody hasn't made an app out of this because it would probably make it's like Flappy Bird for people with who have had a stroke and like it's like for people who are like it's Flappy Bird, but there was like too much going on in Flappy Bird, so it's something simpler. It was literally there was a button in the middle of the screen and you click the button, and but not like cookie clicker clicking. It was cookie clicker was way more involved. This is you click a button, and the idea was there's 9 million people, 9 billion people in the world. We want 9 billion clicks. We're going to symbolically kill every single person in the world, and that's the whole thing. It was just and people had like status symbols. There was a leaderboard of who've clicked the button more times. So it was about as dumb as you could possibly get, but they had a little chat box there, and so I don't know. Like I was obviously really bored as a teenager. Like I spent so much time at CSFBL. I played the Kill Everyone Project. I was on there, and I would talk on the chat board, and and like the. Think of the kind of people who are on the Kill Everyone Project at 6 o'clock on a weekday.
Right.
Like these are not the happiest people. These are not the best and the brightest by any means. So the kind of people who would be like here's my collection of guns, and they'd link a bunch of guns, and I'd click on the link and say, oh, those are some nice guns, and somebody would say, here's my collection of knives, those are some nice knives, and then somebody was like, I'm 17 and this is the ring I want my boyfriend to give me, and so I'd click on the ring, a nice wedding ring. And so probably around this time, I don't know if there was any particular reason, but my parents decided, maybe we should know what he's doing when he's on the computer all day. So they recruited my older sister to go into my internet history, and she found that these links that I clicked on of knives and guns and wedding rings and stuff like that. So I was confronted by a very upset family saying, convinced that I was going to find somebody, marry them, and then murder them with some assortment of knives and guns and whatever, and I don't know, go off, come back home at the end and be like, what's for dinner? I don't know what the end game of all that was afterwards, but that was the moment of panic when they saw what I was doing there.
Ultimately, you get rent for free in prison.
Yeah,
Maybe
I
that's
guess.
where
Yeah,
they thought you were
you don't have
going
to
with it.
pay. Yeah, and that'll be my ID number 2790.
Yeah, that's That's
I realize I'm making my family sound like utterly nuts right now. Really, really total horrible
no.
people. That
I
was a
see. I
few
have
isolated incidents.
no. I'm with your family on this. Like, I have this theory that everybody looks guilty on a security camera. Whenever you're looking at security camera footage, you're like, yeah, that person's up to something. And I don't. It was. This, it's the same thing with how the internet at least used to be, and our game for the longest time, TCL, no, there was complete anonymity. I think people forget that. Like for the first 2 years, everybody was just an avatar until that thread that Eclectic started, the Who Dares Show Their
Yeah,
Face thread.
yeah. I think that you're right. That's definitely a turning point because at this point, it's really, it's much, it's not a game anymore. It's just a community. Like everybody just knows each other. Like people call each other by their first names. I mean, you're doing a series of podcasts with people. Everybody has each other's phone numbers and stuff like that. But yeah, way back in the early days, people, you weren't giving out your phone number to anyone else in this league.
No, it
It was a
was.
big deal to give out like your aim and like talk to them off-site the forums,
Yeah, that thread was pretty groundbreaking because I remember how nervous I was, and it seems so irrational now to put my picture up for other people to see, and it seems very strange now, but that's the first time I saw you and realized how young you were because you put a picture. I think you might have
Yeah,
been six.
that was at Brown, actually. I put that picture
Oh,
around that time.
yeah, and you, how old were you then? Probably 17.
16, 17.
Yeah. So everybody, and then a couple of years after that, everybody got talked into being on Facebook, and then the meetups
I
happened,
haven't
and.
really crossed that. I think I have, but I just don't use Facebook enough to worry about that one.
Yeah.
I think I have you and like a couple other people somehow, and I found Jelly just because I wanted to see what he looked like, but that's pretty much it.
So, do you think you'd ever go to one of the meetups?
It just to obviously it's tough to get away for where I'm at, thinking about where I am right now, but yeah, I'd love to do it. Just depends on where and when and everything. If it had been in St. Louis last summer, it would have been that would have had a decent shot. But if it's in Vegas again, I don't know, or not again, but for the first time, I don't know how well that would work. It just obviously would depend, but it would be something I would definitely like to do.
Well, we've been talking a little bit, and I think everybody I've talked to so far seems resigned that the East Coast is the better place to be, so maybe it'll end up being close to where you're moving.
Yeah, that would work.
So you're back to that, you're moving to the city again?
Yeah, we're moving this time to not yeah to New York City. We're trying to look in Brooklyn. It has literally nothing to do with me. My girlfriend is a graphic designer, and so she designs the covers of children's books. And right now, she works at a very small, like 20-person place or whatever, and she also does freelance projects on the side. And so she did a freelance project for one of the very large companies in New York, and they liked her work so much that within a week they had offered her a very, very nice job, much better, much higher pay, everything than what she has right now. And it all happened in the space of 4 days. So we weren't even looking. I actually the timing is about as terrible as it could get, because our current building is getting torn down and our rent ends May 1st.
Wow.
So yeah, so it's literally, and we have a lease signed. A few weeks ago, we signed a lease for a new place and everything. So we like, if it had happened a month earlier, or if they decided to knock the building down a month later, and we hadn't signed stuff yet, it would have been a lot better. We're right in that in between place where we have to break our old one or the one we just signed, and then find a place, and we don't have a home base for a while. So it's a lot of couch surfing, I think, for me for the next few weeks.
You have friends that live out there?
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
I'm from there, so
Oh, yeah.
everybody I went to high school with still lives there, and so. But the issue is, there's a lot of people that I just haven't kept in touch with that I'm friendly with, but don't necessarily want to stay on their couch for a month. So I think I have like eight people lined up, so I stay like 2 nights at each person's place, and hopefully that carries me through.
Well, that's nice. I'm assuming you're looking forward to moving back closer to home.
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing, in that if my parents still lived out there, it would make it really easy. I could, we ship our stuff there even. Like right now, we have nowhere to put our stuff. Like we're just keeping it in storage until and then we're gonna have to like have her like brothers or something like go into storage and unload it and then get it sent out to New York. But my family actually moved away from New York right like literally a day after I moved to Chicago. My parents moved to Texas, so I actually have no family left in New York, which makes it a little worse. But yeah, it'd be nice to see a lot of the people I knew 5-6 years ago and haven't really gotten to see very often since.
So you talked about some of the folks you went to high school with. So I did Facebook stalk you a little bit, and I saw that you went to John Jay High School.
Yes.
And
thanks.
I
announced that for everyone.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, it's not like you're there now. It's not like anybody's going to come find you or get your
transfer. No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
But I found it was interesting that you went to a high school named after the Chief Justice of center field of Bush Stadium.
Yeah.
Is that right? Different John
Jay. Yeah. No, yeah, it was named after the Cardinals one who was probably like 2 years old. First Supreme. There's actually multiple John Jays. He's a big figure in where I was. He like lived around there and stuff, and he did, I don't know, we were taught it all. So there's like, you know, there's the John Jay Criminal Justice School in New York, actually, which is one of the best schools in the country, I believe. And then there's a couple of high schools, mine and one not too far away. So
nice. So if you're following a lady out there, this must be pretty serious. You're not thinking about
you're not making
a mistake, are you?
I still remember you called me on this like a year ago.
Yeah.
And I called her like my current girlfriend, and you were like, you probably thought that was pretty funny. No, we've been together for a little over 3 years now, and I moved here and moved straight into an apartment together. So we've lived together for almost two. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty serious. It doesn't hurt for a lot of reasons. It doesn't hurt that, you know, we're moving back to the city where I'm from and where I know everybody. It doesn't hurt that I have no attachment to my job here and not a lot of attachments to the city in general. So I'm totally, you know, if I had a job here and other friends or a lot of other friends and really loved my job, then it would be more of a decision. What do I do? But for where I was at, it was not much of a difficult choice at all. I was pretty excited, actually.
Yeah. So she has a job, but you don't have a job yet. Then.
I have no job. Yes.
Yeah,
it's
nice.
Very exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully she gets like another 100% pay raise and I just never have to find one.
And you can just start popping out kids.
Yeah. That's I would be totally fine with being a trophy husband.
Really?
Yeah. I don't.
What would you
honestly,
do?
Honestly, I would write. I would take care of the kids. I would write. I don't know. I would be happier. I don't know. I'm not. I think hopefully maybe it was just this one place, but it was rough. It was not a particularly pleasant situation where I was.
Well, and I certainly am not going to say what you did or where you worked, but
I would love to talk about it.
Oh, okay, because I did want to ask you. You know, one of the highlights of your current career is pimping pink latex gloves.
Yeah,
now I'm not going to say why.
I'll talk about it plenty. Actually, here's where you're wrong, and feel free to cut me off when I start getting super arcane, because I could talk about this way too long. They're actually not latex. None of the pink gloves are latex. They're all vinyl, or nitrile is the new material.
Is that ribbed?
Sorry?
Are they ribbed?
No, none of our gloves are ribbed. We do not recommend that you put them on your dick. So I work for... to. Make this conversation make some kind of sense. I work for a medical supplies company out in the Chicago suburbs. It's actually pretty large, and it's a very strange place to work. And I work in the gloves division. I do marketing for gloves, and it's, you know, not as sexy as many other jobs are. It could be worse. There is a adult undergarments department.
Nice.
So, you know, I could be working in diapers. Yeah, so we with Pink, we do a yearly contest that I'm actually like kind of fucking over because I was supposed to be the point man and now I'm leaving on it. We do this yearly contest called the Pink Glove Dance, and it's a really nice thing. We, you know, schedule it for October, and it raises money for breast cancer. Like last year, we raised like $1.5 million. So I mean, it does good things, and it's just like, you know, it's a bunch of happy people, you know, talk or you know. hopeful people, who dance to a little Katy Perry song or whatever and submit a video and people vote on it. And then they all, talk about, breast cancer and how it's affected their lives. And so, I mean, there are people in the office who sob and sob and sob about it. And, I don't get too emotional, but, it's nice. It makes people happy. But yeah, it's very much a major part of our jobs is making sure this pink glove dance contest works.
Can I give you a motto that I think you should use in your advertising?
All right, go ahead.
And it's about breast cancer awareness.
All right.
Five in the pink makes you think.
Five in the pink makes you stink. I'll bring that up at the next meeting.
Yeah.
I'm on my way out the door. I'll say, that's my last day. Five in the pink makes you think. See you, everybody.
Breast Cancer Awareness Week. I love it. Yeah. It's a winner. So this job is kind of just jaded you from working at this point?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know.
Corporate America has gotten.
Corporate America. It's a very strange company in that it's grown about five times in the last 15 years or so. So it's totally, there's like the old guard, and it's, privately owned, family owned. And so they have lots of like processes and stuff that haven't been updated in 30 years. And so there's the old guard who, not to, put down on people who, haven't gone to college or whatever like that, but just, there's people who got their start on, like working on the lines in like the factory and manufacturing and have worked their way up to like decision-making positions. And then meanwhile, there's, people more like me who, I went to, good schools and got good educations and like are more flexible and are just able to think outside the box a little bit more. And, I'm not, the people, the old guard, they're perfectly smart people. It's just the kind of creative problem solving is non-existent. And they also haven't updated for the digital age at all. And so they still have we have a warehouse of just like filing cabinets, I think, with like paperwork going back decades. So there's just a big culture clash there. And so it made my job particularly difficult in a lot of ways.
It's interesting you talk about that because did you listen to the podcast with Mac?
The first half, yeah.
Yeah, because he was talking about Gaylord family.
Right,
And that family is just like that. They own a lot of hotels. That's the only reason I know anything about them. But they had a lot of people that were friends of the family, et cetera, that have just been around long time.
It's absolutely an old boys club. There's people have talked about it. There's like 56 like upper management positions in the company, and it's 56 white dudes and over 45. And so like that's the company. Like all like the super senior guys, like they get together and they play poker, every day during lunch. And it's very much that kind of culture, and it's very much nepotism. And I shouldn't even talk. I only got the job because my girlfriend's family knows one of those super high up guys. So,
sure.
But that's very much how anybody gets this job. Like you talk to everybody at this company and everybody knows somebody is, dating somebody in the company. There's families, the amount of families in this company, probably like 30% of the people are related to somebody else. It feels like sometimes. So, and when you do that, it makes a familiar workplace, but it's sometimes you sacrifice a little quality, and that's kind of what I was seeing a lot of the time.
Yeah. So, and when people are around that long, their critical thinking skills are not the same anymore. Yeah.
You get locked into, this is how we do it. This is how we always do it. Why should we do it any other way? And then, that's how it gets evolved where, I want this factory to make this glove, but I have to have 25 people sign off on it first before I can send that simple email. So it becomes very, very tedious in a lot of ways. And it really, really wasn't, basically it just wasn't a fun place to work at all. And it was an hour and a half commute, which doesn't help you at all. So
no, you don't want to spend three hours of your day in a car.
3 hours a day, 6 to 6.
It's a good time to listen to the Threads of Time podcast though.
Yeah. You should have started doing them earlier.
Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned college, and you went to Washington University, which I assume is in the state of Washington. But no, it's just outside of St. Or is it in St. Louis?
Well, I mean, Jar can speak on this better than I can, but it's St. Louis doesn't. St. Louis is kind of a sprawling city. It's also not very big population-wise. So technically, it is. Depending on who you talk to, it's in St. Louis. But if you're talking about downtown St. Louis, it's not there. But yeah, St. Louis, good enough. Let's go that.
Yeah, and actually, when you were taking your hiatus from CSFBL, I lived close to there for a couple months. I was in Lake of
Really?
the Ozarks, which
Oh.
isn't close, but it's in Missouri.
It's in the general
And
geography
so
area.
I would drive through St. Louis quite often, and I hated it
Really?
in Lake of the Ozarks. I
Oh,
hate
okay.
it. Have you been there?
No, but I mean, I've been to surrounding areas that's not St. Louis, and yeah, it's pretty fucking terrible.
Well, Lake of the Ozarks was like a playground for young adults where, everybody ties off their boats and there's 200 boats and it's like a Girls Gone Wild thing in the summer and it's just so overbuilt and painful. And I was managing this hotel through a receivership for a couple months, and the first day I show up, and no kidding, the hotel sold out and they have what's the guy's name from Poison? Brett Michaels. He's performing at the hotel. And the bar in the hotel was called the Horny Toad. Again, not joking. And they had a little
Not
amphitheater
very
set up.
subtle there, though.
No, the place was just it was awful. But anyways, so Washington University. And what did you go to school for?
I did political science and writing, so
So that's where the writing comes
that's
in.
where the writing comes from. It's actually for people like Joker or whoever have their kids going off to school, I would recommend not being a political science major unless you know 100% that you're going to law school and you also don't have a pre-law program. It was kind of just from what I've seen, like there's no difference in terms of like classes really between like that and say economics. But with economics, you have like 400 more fields that you can go into where people are more willing to hire you.
So what was the original goal? Did you want to be a speechwriter?
Yeah, I kind of did want to be. I did these very cool like lobbying things way back in high school that I thought were really awesome. Honestly, I didn't really. I declared my major like there was a deadline sophomore year when you had to declare, and I declared like a month and a half after it. So I really didn't know what I wanted to do. It was pretty much I couldn't decide, and I'd taken lots of classes in lots of places, and I just said whatever is the easiest, and poli sci had a really easy requirement, and I'd already taken a bunch of classes, so kind of went in that direction. But I don't know, there were other places I probably should have gone.
So let's walk down this sugar mama path for a second. Let's say she finds the greatest job in the world. You do get to stay home, and you do get to write all the time. What are you going to write?
Yeah, I took a. I have the workings of a very crappy novel.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not. I'm not gonna be one of the people that talks about my book. So, but yeah, most likely it would just be like, coming of age kind of that kind of fiction. Nothing special or anything like that. I mean, it wouldn't even be writing to get published because it's fun and like I'm not terrible, but I don't think I'm ever good enough where I'd want to write something serious. I keep bouncing around because she does work for like children's books, and I read the books, and some of them are okay, and some of them are, I don't know how many teen books you read, but a lot of them are written not particularly well, and it's just, the only thing good, like the Hunger Game books, the only good things they do are just blaze ahead. Like the writing itself is nothing special. So, if you ever get ever got the idea, I would love to write one of those books, and then you create that empire and live off that forever. But it's tougher than it sounds.
Well, but in this era, isn't it easier to get published? I mean, you could just self-publish at this point. It doesn't mean anybody's going to read it
Yeah, I
necessarily,
mean,
but at least that hurdle isn't there.
you can do lots of things if you really want to. Like, she has a friend who is the president of her own one-person design firm. It doesn't actually mean the design firm's a firm. It's just her, and she incorporated herself. I could self-publish my book, and I could self-publish 10 books and say I have 10 books published. It doesn't actually mean, as you said, anybody's read it. So yeah, you're right. It is very easy for people to see your reading, but as a result, or see your writing, but as a result of that, it is far more difficult to actually stand out from the crowd and make any money off of that.
Well,
It's like reporting, it's like newspapers, that kind of thing.
not that I'm in any place to give advice, but the one thing that I have seen every successful person do, and I try to do it myself, is not to look at an end result, just enjoy the process while it's
Yeah,
happening and
that's.
enjoy writing. And if it doesn't go somewhere, that's fine. But more than likely, it might lead to somewhere.
We'll see. It's a long and meandering road. I still got time, so.
I was surprised that you said fiction. I would have thought with what you went to school for and what your original goal was that you'd write nonfiction.
Yeah, that's also a possibility. I clearly haven't, done enough to really think about it just yet. There's lots of things you can write about. I don't know what. I have to get in that position where I have enough time to dedicate it first before I can worry about, devoting to one type of writing or another.
Yeah, so the immediate plan when you get out there obviously isn't going to be write a novel. Are you going to just try and pick up some part-time work?
I'm trying to pick up some full-time work.
Yeah.
I have some feelers out. There's a couple people from the league actually have been very generous in
Nice.
putting me in contact with a couple people, so I thank them very much. Very helpful. And we still have a big network out there. I know a lot of people, have a lot of people prominently placed at good places. So I'm confident I'll find something pretty quickly. And if not, I'll live on the street, I guess, in 7 or 8 months.
That's good too.
Yeah.
Just ask PR. Look at
I
it.
wouldn't
You're.
I wouldn't be the first TCL member to do so.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting when you talk about a couple of the guys from the league helping you, is where this community's gone. I mean, I've had the guys in the league help me quite a bit too. And now that I'm focused, sober and focused on being creative, all of that's the muse portion of that is coming from the league. So it's helped me a lot.
Yeah, that was a who is this? Like the Ken podcast where it was just like randomly like, oh, like he got his friend to live with PR for a while. Like that was like shocking to me. You were surprised too.
Yeah.
It was just like that's what that kind of real life crossover right there.
Yeah. So speaking of the league, I would be remiss if I didn't congratulate you on your World Series.
Yeah, I think we're catching me just before I lose my defending title
Yeah,
status.
you are still the champion for
By the time
probably.
this is published, it will no longer be so.
No. And I'm guessing you were pretty worried about that for a while. You had some unfortunate bounces from the playoffs there for a couple
Yeah, it
years.
was what did you call me? Like the worst playoff manager in league history? I might actually be. Because in all honesty, I should have won. I had a 7 year stretch right here, which compared to a lot of people's stretches, it wasn't quite a decade of dominance or anything like that. But within those 7 years, and I was, one of the best teams for all those years. And not only that, like out of all the teams to get better when you shorten your rotation, I should have been. I
Yes.
yeah, it was very disappointing that I did not win those postseason series. I just got ran into. I got. Manhandled by Spitball a few too many times, and the fact that I decided to not put any attention to my offense at all kind of bit me. And so, if the pitching gives up 3 runs, it was over in any playoff game, and that kind of screwed me over. But I did manage to win that one apparently right before I lost my chance at making the playoffs, and it's going to be difficult to even get back with the way the division's looking. So, I'm glad I clinched that barely last year.
Well, you may not realize this, but you have one of the historically one of the most cursed franchises.
Yeah, well, no, the cause. Yeah, oh no, I am
Yeah.
well aware of my franchise's history. So, yeah, that was the best part because I might be getting bounced in the playoffs, but at least I'm only winning 97 games as opposed to 117.
Yeah. Yeah. Kaz, I'm looking at it right now. He went to 14 playoffs and only won one World Series. And during that time, he was 300 games over 500.
Yeah, that saying just
It's
saying the 14
crazy.
playoffs, like you say, oh, whatever, you have bad luck. But he wasn't just going to the playoffs. He was, wrecking. Like, those are some legendary, you know, he was winning,
100
wasn't
win
he winning like,
teams.
yeah, 110 win teams in a
Yeah.
time when everybody else in Smallville, when they were like, you know, that was, weren't, I, you know, I wasn't even around for these years, but I want to say those are the years that were like people were winning like 95 games and finishing fourth, and he
Yeah.
was winning, you know, 115 and then getting bounced first time around. So,
Yeah, he
yeah,
got
no.
bounced in the first round 9 times, and I think 4 times in a row with a 100-win team. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, when I did those whole like win update stuff, I noticed that, and then it was like he got what everybody likes to say, they broke him. Everybody
Yeah.
fights over
Who
who
broke
destroyed his
Taz?
spirit. And then, because I think after he had like the 4 or 5 years of just getting bounced, he tore it all up, won like 55 a year or two in a row, and then came right back out to 120, and then lost in the first round again a couple more years. And I think that was, and then I think he just, you know, quit the game for like 5 years afterwards.
And then you also have the franchise with the Mobius team,
Yeah.
the infamous Mobius team.
I mean, that's the reason, probably, you know, it was karma for Mobius.
Yeah, it's a Mobius curse, but you broke it. You broke its back.
Well, yeah, it was painful, it was difficult. Mobius lingers.
And so in Moreno, I think you're starting to make the assertion that he could be listed as the best pitcher of all time. Is that your claim?
No, that's not my claim. He's not gonna.
I don't know.
Well,
He's
that close.
close.
He's not gonna catch true in a lot of places. He,
Those are career numbers, though. You know, I
yeah.
mean.
Well, I mean, if we're looking at peak, yeah. Like he hit the 7 years, 7, 8 years he spent with my team. I don't think there's anybody who has 7 or 8 years. Like if you're looking at a 2 year period, Gray, you know,
Yeah.
and on your team those years, like, you know, I don't know if anybody, you know, unless there's some pitcher with, you know, hundreds across the board someday, is gonna match those. But yeah, if we expand it out to, you know, 8 years and then, you know, don't expand it out to the 25 or whatever the true pitched, I think he's got a nice little niche in there.
Yeah, I think he can compete with, like, for a long time I said Gray had the single best season ever, which was I don't even remember which year it was, but Moreno had, wasn't it 3 30 win seasons in a row?
Four in a row.
Four in a row?
Quad 30.
Oof, that is brutal.
Yeah, and with no, I mean, here's the thing is that it's hard to tell because the offensive level of the league in that time was, you know, Reds was glitching up the game at that point, so, you know, people were scoring runs at, you know, historically low rates. But even then, he was still the best of all the pitchers who weren't giving up any runs. So, yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second, because you just hit the nail on the head. And my next podcast, my next podcast guest is Reds, and I am going to hit him very hard about this. I'm going to record it before he hears this too. All those changes in the offense happened right after he won that World Series, and I say it a little tongue in cheek, but I think he tweaked the code to win that World Series, because he's been to one playoff, won
Man,
the
it was
whole
that one World
thing.
Series.
Yeah. And then ever since then, the offense was all goofed up.
I think it's a lot of factors. A lot of people are going to complain about this, but I mean, a lot of it's the CBA in a lot of ways, and that big hitters are more expensive and big defenders, despite some intended changes, I guess, are still very cheap. And I think also that, you know, just us as a league, you know, you obviously don't read other forums, but I did some looking on this a few months back, and you can basically just judge a league's quality based on how many runs per games the team score.
Sure.
And like a public league, like it's like 4.8 runs a game per team, and like TCL is at like 4 flat. And so, like, that's, you know, and then like good leagues go from in between. And that's pretty much, you know, how it is. It's just you have owners that understand that defense is really good and that, you know, a really strong way to build a team is to have a lot of cheap guys who play really good defense. And, you know, I took that to one extreme, not quite jelly extremes, but that's, you know, that's basically how my team worked. I had one good hitter, one or two good hitters, a really strong rotation, and a lot of guys with really good fielding. And I was able to get, you know, full D&D in scouting for a lot of those years too, which really helped. And yeah, I mean, so that, you know, nobody's scoring any runs. And I think the game, there might have been some tweaks. It would be nice if we had like patch notes or something, but there might have been some tweaks a few seasons ago because the run level bumped back up. like a substantial percent. But yeah, I don't know if Reds did it himself or what. But I mean, it's not just the game; it's also the way we play it that makes it that way.
Well, you just hit on something. I guess I haven't thought about that before. Why don't we get patch notes? That's a pretty common thing, right?
I can show you lots of video games where they make updates, and these games that I'm thinking of all have full-time staffs and make a lot of money, and obviously we don't. But even if they're only, an update every, 6 months, a year, I don't know how often they change the game. Maybe we never don't need patch notes because they never change the game, but I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
For the big stuff, like they told us, like the CBA, but they didn't give us any information about that, and I don't know who that comes from. Obviously, I've zero idea of where the power structure is like, and I'm sure you can talk about that more next time with Reds, and he'll give you a better answer than that. But yeah, it wouldn't change the game for anyone if it was literally just like hitting is bad. We made batting like 4% stronger, so like people get more hits. Like boom, and then people know like oh like people are gonna get more hits. Like that kind of stuff would go a long way to kind of clearing up a lot of the fog that surrounds the game.
You know what I think it is you heard about that ferry that capsized in South Korea, off South Korea,
No, I
with
don't.
all the students, and a bunch of students died on the ferry. It was a big tragedy,
All right.
and it just happened this past week. Well, the reason it happened is because the ferry captain was asleep in his quarters, and he had the third mate, who had never captained his ship before, driving this ferry, and they ran aground, and that's what happened.
Are you sure this isn't just an extended metaphor or what?
I'm going to bring it to CSFBL. That's what's happening right now, is Brian's asleep in his quarters, and then Trickett kind of went off and did his thing, and we're not sure where he is. So they got Reds up there captaining this boat, and he's like, "I've never run a business before," and then he's just running into the ground.
Yeah, I don't think
I'm just talking trash about
no,
Reds, right?
I think I don't know. Yeah, it's very tough. Everybody always has ideas like, why don't we just do this? Why don't, and it's very tough to do that. It's very tough to implement it, and it's even tougher when the captain's not totally asleep at the wheel, but he has like one eye open, and occasionally he'll wake up and like bark some orders and like swing like the wheel to one side, and the boat starts going around in circles, and then he falls back asleep. I think that's closer to what actually seems to be going on.
I actually like Reds a lot, but it's really fun to give him a hard time, just because he gets so riled up.
Yeah, nobody takes it more personally than Red says.
See, that's why he has to stop doing that. Back to the stats for a second, because you had mentioned going to other leagues and looking at stats. You were kind of the first stats guy in TCL, and you started talking way over my head years ago about things like EQA and some of those
Yeah,
stats.
I got really into that stuff back, basically partially because of this game. Like I started realizing, because back when I first started, I was in absolutely fucking love with any kind of power speed, home runs, stolen bases. That's all I looked at basically, and that's how I got Victor Victoria Brunet, I don't know, the French dude.
It's your guy. You can call him
Yeah,
whatever you
that's
want.
my guy. Yeah, pretty much. I traded for him almost exclusively because he could steal bases. And I lucked out because he was also like a fucking monster in the things that actually mattered. He didn't just hit home runs, he hit everything. So he was really good. But in general, like that was my play style. I was just like, oh, they got speed, they must be good. And a lot of times my teams weren't that good. And so I started looking around, and I had some friends who were into some stuff too, so I got really into like Baseball Prospectus and reading a lot of those articles and like understanding what actually makes a team good. And then I tried to transfer it all to here, and should have realized a long time ago that this is not real baseball. And so a lot of the truths that hold that are basically universal truths in real life don't really have any kind of sway. I have one exceptional guy in a different league who has like a career 480 BABIP, which is about as if a baseball player did that, it'd be like he'd have to be an alien or something. So,
Could Barry, like even the Barry Bonds years weren't at that level?
well, because Bonds wasn't hitting. This isn't. These are not counting home runs. So this is like if Bonds only hit like 150 mile an hour line drives that went straight into the outfield.
I see.
Like this guy does, I have a jelly park there. So, the guy hits like 390 at home, but he still hits like 370 on the road. So he just would not be. Yeah. So there's a lot of things. And then the double play rate's like 10 times real life average and
Yeah.
stuff like that. So a lot of it's hard to transfer over because things have very different weights and meanings.
Ooh,
Yeah.
I just figured that out in another league. I had a team full of guys the team just couldn't win, but everybody had really high averages, and I just couldn't figure it out. And I'm not a stats guy. Like I admit that I don't know how the game's played, but I made a real serious discovery about ground ball double plays, and every one of these guys, they had great averages, but they were always hitting into ground ball double plays, and
Yeah.
they were always on base, and that's where the strikeouts matter thing came from is I avoid guys that hit ground ball double plays like the plague now, because that team, I was winning 70 games, and I had a team batting average of like 313.
Yeah, well, here's a little secret. If you use turf, that cancels out a lot at home.
I didn't know
Turf,
that.
yeah, the impact, that was the other part. Yeah, the impact of turf versus grass. Like, I don't know if anybody pays attention or very few people do, but let me tell you, if you high contact guys, you can take a guy who at a normal stadium will hit, 220 and hit into a double play every time there's a guy in first, and you put him on turf and everything will skyrocket. And I'm sure somebody else will probably, somebody hear that and say, like, that's not true. But just from what I've seen,
Jelly's
it has
gonna
a
be
very,
pissed that you
yeah.
let out a secret.
Well, here's my one claim to fame. The point where, in the last few months where I almost was like, if I hadn't won a World Series or, if my team wasn't good, I would have been like, I can, drop the mic and walk away. Joke drafted that guy Saltz or whatever in the first overall, like 4 or 5 drafts ago. And, people were talking about him in some thread. And I mentioned, I think, his endurance or something else is gonna be a lot higher than what he's scouted to. And I'm not telling you, right? You guys can figure it out for yourself. But I made some predictions about it and they turned out to be pretty much on the money. And I got a private message from Jelly saying, "How did you figure that out, and how did you know that was going to happen?" And right at that point, I was like, "Well, I'm done."
Yeah.
When I start getting to the point where Jelly's saying, "Man, how did you know something about this game?" Jelly, whose entire persona is, "I am Jelly. I am better than you because I know more than you and I understand more than you." Yeah, that felt good. And then I pretty much just, gave him all the clues, and I'm sure he's figured it out at this point. It's not difficult. And so, but yeah, that's my one secret gone right there. But yeah, that was nice.
That's awesome. So, we have a new segment on the show that I decided to roll out just for you,
Right.
and this is a perfect time to do it, and it's called Ask Rent, and so I reached out to a couple owners that I thought might have a specific question for you,
I feel
and
like I'm on the hot seat
you're
now.
on the hot seat now. So Clone had a good question for you. It's actually a two-part question, so I'm going to ask them at the same time. His question for Ask Rent is, Rent, what game stat should I use to best summarize the glory of the Durham math besides rings? And as a follow-up question, did you learn that at your fancy college?
Yeah. For game stats, in all honesty, I want to say, it's kind of hard to sum up wins. I don't know. It's not like his teams were, one particular style or whatever. He was, sometimes he'd be really good at hitting, sometimes he'd be really good at pitching. Trade rapes, is that a stat?
No, man.
Let's summarize Durham up in trade rapes. Although somebody was mentioned that, I think it was Mac or somebody that, clones trades, or Ken or somebody clones trades. People say they were trade rapes, but that was mostly just because Crocco decided to trade with him a lot.
Yeah,
In
that's
general,
what it was.
Clone, I don't think was a trade raper. He got over on people, but I had a number of trades with him where I kind of a Troy Castro I stole from him for Haim Henry and a couple of peanuts, and so nobody wins them all.
Let's talk about Troy Castro for a second, because I didn't for some reason in my head I thought I traded him to you, but
No, I don't think we've ever made a trade.
I don't think so either.
I've only been in the league, not too many seasons, all things told, but I don't think we've ever made one.
I'm looking at Troy Castro right now, and I traded him to Durham for Robert Morrow and a pitcher.
Yeah, Robert Moore, who also ended up on my team not too long after
Well,
that.
and that's the funny thing about it is I looked up Robert Morrow. He came to my team, and then I had him for two seasons, and then I traded him back to Clone, and then Clone traded him to you. So, like,
Yeah.
Troy Castro and Robert Morrow have this very similar path.
Yeah, I was very obsessed with like star power was all I was looking for, and name power. If they were drafted number one overall at one point, like, man, he must be good. I want him. So yeah, at one point in a team didn't even win that much, but I had Brunette, who was, legendary. I had Castro, who was fantastic. I had Morrow. I don't think they ever lined up with Anthony Garcia at that point, but I
Wait,
had, like,
didn't
yeah,
you
I
have
would.
Jose Plourde too?
Well, that was later. Yeah,
Oh.
Clone traded me Plourde, and he actually won, I think, when I won that World Series. And I won. Oh, I forgot to mention. I think I beat out Clone for the longest gap in between two World Series, because I won in 1998, and then just won again 64 seasons later.
Nice.
Which, yeah. But yeah. So it was all, star power. Yeah, Mora ended up on that team, and Castro took a lot of bus routes back and forth.
Yeah. All right. So Clone had one other suggestion. He thought it would be a good idea, and I agree with him, to play a quick word association with you. So I'm going to say a owner name, and you have to just give me your first one-word response.
All right.
You ready? All right. Afro.
Jewish.
Good one. Jar.
Talented.
Yeah, genius, right? Goot.
Robot. That's boring. That's not a good one. I don't like the nicest guy in the league. Can we substitute that in
No,
instead?
you
All
one
right.
word.
All right.
You went with the robot. It's too late. Pimp.
Nemesis.
Yeah. And then piggy.
Swedish. Yeah, I'm not good at word association. Even as I'm thinking of these are bad. There's so much. I feel like, nobody in this league can be described in one word.
I'm trying to make you talk a little trash about the other people in your
Yeah,
division
I mean,
in
you're
case
just
you didn't
giving me small
notice.
ball right here. I mean, I'll talk more about it. The slappers, I don't know. I don't think I've had too many trouble with them. Afro's team's been terrible every time I look at it. Pimps is always really fucking good. Jar has been struggling, but he's getting good now because he has Cole, who I'm gonna try and steal from him in a season or two. I don't think it's gonna work, but yeah. And then Goot, Tempe's just kind of cute.
Yeah, Jar had just a monster team, and then he
A
traded you Moreno.
championship and then dismantleship.
Oh,
He traded
yes.
me Moreno, and then he traded every other good player to Piggy. So not only did he trade his entire
In
championship
division.
team, yeah, in division, and then, that basically, because I got the younger guy, so that shot, and I had already been tanking, so that shot put in me for 7 seasons. It made Piggy's team really good for the next few years too.
I couldn't believe he traded you Moreno. I was so horrified.
For nothing, he
If
didn't.
you remember, I came after you. I offered
Yeah.
you like five first round
It
picks.
was more. You offered me what you ended up giving for Roberson,
Yeah.
and you over,
Totally overpaid, but
you
I
overpaid for Roberson. It would have been kind of close for me, but considering what Moreno's done so far, I'm not upset about turning that down.
had no I felt like
He
unless I
didn't
got
even live trade it. So
No.
we did it all through PM. He was like, "Oh, I'm going to trade these guys." And I sent him an offer, and I think he came back to me and he was like, "I maybe he was like, can you add in a second rounder?" And so I added in a second rounder, and we've discussed it. He just I think he just was still in the glow of winning the World Series and didn't realize. And he also had a giant park at that point. And so if you look at Moreno's home and away numbers for Oklahoma, like, his home numbers are not great, and his away numbers, like, he had like a 1.8 ERA, I think, his last season on the road. And then he went to my park, and my park's been pretty much a pitcher's park, which also helps, secretly helps Moreno out a lot. And
Yeah.
yeah, the stats speak for themselves though afterwards.
So you gave him the number 3 overall, The
It was the number. It was the number four, technically, because
technically,
there was
yeah.
a penalty on it.
Okay. And then John Vick.
Who's okay, but
And
he
then,
never did anything.
yeah, left fielder named Snavely.
Snavely, he's got like 99 discipline and nothing else. So he ended up being, okay. But it was really just the number four pick and a few pieces of,
For
not,
potentially.
decent, role players. And then, but I mean, it worked out because he traded. I think he got like the six or something from Piggy when he traded, everybody else. And then he combined those two guys, and then that happened. So luckily for you, he traded for the number one, and that happened to be the year Cole came out. So if it had been another year, it would have been a lot worse. And then the four and the six, I don't know why I still remember all this. Four and the six went to Trickett, and those became two good guys that are now on Moden's team. And they've made Moden's team pretty good too. So that was everybody ended up being good, but I definitely reaped the most the first benefits from it.
Yeah, I'm just adding it up in my head, and it looks like Moreno has gotten you about 240 wins. He's never gone over one as a whip.
No, oh yeah. Thank you.
And
Yeah.
he went over two as a ERA once.
Once.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal. I'm not trying to make Jar feel bad if he's listening to this,
No,
but
we have hashed this out many times, and he said that was not his best decision.
yeah, but he's 34. He has a couple more years left in him, is my guess. We can live trade him right now if you want to give him to me.
That's all right. As far currently, he's not fully maxed out everywhere. His power has started to go down, but everyone else is still at 34, was still maxed out, including endurance, which is very exciting.
Yeah, that's good. That's
Can we talk
good.
about my complete games? Because I noticed you keep trying to creep up on me and then failing miserably.
On complete game? I don't know. Am I? Am I
You're
right
always
behind you?
you're. See, I'm probably the only person in the entire game who cares about this. But you always finish like second
Yeah.
in complete games. You generally get up there. But yeah,
Well,
I just like looking at my streak.
if you look, like I've had a strategy since, I don't know, probably the 88 season, somewhere where I started to figure out how the game worked. Maybe even 98 season, where I have by far the least amount of saves in league history. I have close to the most complete games. I'm guessing that you're right up there. There's a couple things. I don't use relievers. I don't use closers. I don't like left-handed players, either pitchers or position players. And there's just a few basic tenets that I live by. And
Some of those I agree with.
I'm not
Some of
even
them
sure if
not.
they're rational anymore,
Yeah.
but
Left-handers, I think, get a bad rap. I mean, because, you look at some of the greatest pitchers of all time, like Lino was a lefty.
yep.
Hollingsworth was a lefty. Obviously, when you have multiple 90 ratings or whatever,
Yeah, it
the
doesn't
lefty's
matter
not going to
anymore.
hurt you. But I think they get a worse reputation. But I don't really. Doesn't bother me. And just saves, by the way, there have been 7 seasons where a team has had 0 saves for the season. Guess how many of those were me? I'll just tell you, I have all
Five.
seven of them. I have all seven of
Oh,
them.
do you?
Yeah, in the past 10 years, or 11 years. So yeah, no, I had that season a few years ago where I had like 20-something. I didn't have a single reliever pitch gain a year of experience because nobody was over 30 innings, and I
Nice.
think my setup man had 0 innings combined. So yeah.
Nice.
That was my little brag right there.
I was really rooting for Goot this year. I mean, I love Pimp. He's a good guy, but
Pimp
Goot,
always
man,
wins.
Goot. Yeah, I mean, that is like David and Goliath. I really wanted him to win.
Yeah, I mean, Goot only wins the series. What? He's like on schedule though, I think. I think it's like actually, let me check real quick. I think he actually wins one only like every 28 seasons. Every 26 seasons, yeah. He
He's
fucked it
like
up.
Halley's
He
Comet.
won in 2005, which is the 25th year of the league. He won a division, and then 26 years later, he won in 2031. He won a division, and 26 years later, he beat me in
Holy
2057.
shit.
So we'll be expecting Goot again in what's that, 2083? So set your watches.
He is. He's Halley's Goot.
Yeah, it's a
Wow,
good name.
I didn't realize that. That's interesting. So, yeah, he's also my secret, like, prize guest if I ever got him on the podcast. I've marked him down. I don't know how I'm going to get him, but I just want to know
what he sounds like.
He'd be the Holy Grail.
Yeah, pretty much.
Somewhere in my mind, I pretend like he is like the alligator man from Joe Dirt. Like he speaks really like a swamp person.
Wouldn't surprise. I think it's just the goodish. Yeah. You just imagine him to actually talk like that.
Yeah.
Yep. He's probably like super eloquent and like
like Little John.
Yeah, he's got like a bit of an British affectation in his accent.
Maybe. So we just hit our hour, so I'm wondering, I ask everybody if there's anything that they wanted to get off their chest, clear the air, get out there, put somebody on blast, whatever they want to do.
I don't know. I'm not much of a trash talker. I try and I make right. love. You guys are great. I enjoyed being on this. I have to say I was studying all week, so I wanted to make sure I had good things to say, so I hope I entertained everybody.
What have we not hit on that you've studied?
I had like my favorite, like non-regular player or like non-superstar player, but that's not important.
Who is it?
It's David Hansen, who was on those old
surfboards.
I don't know. Yeah, on the old surfboard. I don't even know why I bothered to say his name. He was like a late first rounder, and he was one of those guys with like a ton of discipline and nothing else. And talking about arbitrary endpoints, he is the only player, I looked this up, in the league to have a 400 on base percentage with a less than 400 slugging percentage. Because he had like 98 discipline and like 20 slugging. So in my mind, that makes him the best walk, most disciplined player.
Yeah,
well, because everybody else, you could, imagine, they walked him because they didn't want to hit a home run. But this guy, he had like 8 home runs in his career. I just like that guy. I feel like everybody has a little pet players.
Yeah, I do too. Mine's David Smart. David Smart was a good player anyways, but I know this is pretty lame, but I name a team captain every year. And David Smart was my captain through
He was your clubhouse guy?
Yeah, he was. He was good for the clubhouse. He helped me go to 5 World Series in a row. But the reason I liked him is because, sure, he was good. He usually hit around 300 and was probably like a 360 on base guy. But he always in the playoffs got the walk or got the hit when I needed it, back when I was watching every game on play by play.
High clutch rating.
It was uncanny. That's why I kept saying that he was my example for why the clutch rating really existed.
What was the name of that reliever you had, like Pauly or something?
Pauly
like
Mack.
Pauly Mack.
Yeah.
That was just coming back to me.
Track Pauly Mack. I had a thread about him. I claimed he was the greatest reliever on earth, but he'd only get like 11 innings every year. but he had like
because as soon as you gave him the 11 good innings, you cut him off for the season.
Yep. And then I started a tradition where I'd start him on the last game of the season, and 2 seasons in a row he got a win. And then I was like, maybe there's really something to this. This guy's charmed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then he got blown up for the rest of the
game. Yeah. Well. It always ends like that.
So David Hansen is your guy?
Yeah, is my my little known hero.
Well, you know what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go sponsor his card on Jar's game.
Right.
Have you been playing Jar's game?
A little bit. Generally, I like to let the allowances accrue and then open up like 400,000 cards at once.
Yeah.
And I think I sponsored a couple before they all got messed up. I don't even remember who I did. Yeah, it's a good idea. I don't know. I've never big into collecting cards, though. I'm mostly in it for the clicking.
My first card I sponsored was Kendall Ford, and I did a nice little write-up about how he smelled so bad in the clubhouse that fruit flies were always flying around him. And that's how he got the ladies.
What's the guy you and Jar had, or the low endurance guy? I can't remember his name.
Thomas Curtis.
Right? Yeah. Have you gotten him yet?
No, I didn't think about that.
I'm
going to sponsor him quickly.
You should just copy paste that write up you had for him. That's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he was good. So, all right, what else did you study? I'd feel bad if we didn't get this knowledge.
No, I don't know. I don't know. That was a lot of it. I had other topics I could talk about, but I hit the pedophile story. That was a big one.
That is a big one. That's something that you've never told on the boards.
No, I've been holding it inside for years and years.
Yeah.
Did I mention that it was Bill who drove me out of the league?
No.
I think I've written that once.
No, he actually drove you out of the league?
Yeah, I found the PM when I came back. It was like the last one I had. I went to college, and like didn't really have time for this the first few months there. So I think I quit pretty often, pretty quickly. And it was right after like my team was on the downswing from being good that for those few years. And you have a combination of a team getting older and not paying attention to it, like it's going to get really crappy. And when I came back, I don't know, didn't even remember this, but I found like the most recent PM. It was from Bill, and it said like it was just like totally flaming me, just like holy shit, man, your team is so fucking terrible. Like just trade me your picks already. And like he was offering me like a second rounder for like Wilkinson, and who's actually like my real favorite player.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he was like offering me like shit for that, and just like this really nasty PM. And it was, and I think I then I looked up like when I put in like the my like I'm done with this game, and it was like 24 hours later. So I just have to believe that I just got that PM from Bill, and it was just like, so like he's right, like I am shit, and just left, and like took me 4 years to figure out how to come back.
Bill was he's a good guy, but he had his asshole times.
Yeah. Yes,
Yeah.
he did. I have to say, well, everybody always talks about like the early Jelly years and like how what that did to the league. But not being there, I can't speak too much to, but I do have looked back at some of those threads and just, man, I wish I had been around to just eat popcorn while him and Jelly went at it, because it was like, some of the just reading those threads, you can like feel like the heat anger just like emanate from the screen, and just Bill being like, what is going on? It's like the poor Jelly thread, like sometimes
Yeah.
I've read that, I think I've read that multiple times, which is a little sad, but it's just very good, solid entertainment.
I still feel bad. I think I've apologized to Jelly two or three times formally because I'll read that. I don't know if it was that thread. It was one of those threads where I was just way over the line rude to him. And I mean, he did a lot of stuff. He was definitely an antagonist,
I think
but
not
it
lots
wasn't a
of people
one-way
have been
street.
way over the line rude at one time or another.
Yeah, but I'm glad it all worked out. And yeah, it's funny how all those things ended up working out.
Yeah, we're in like a period of relative calmness. Someone's got to start like a gun thread or something again.
Well, what I think it was Mac that said it to me, or maybe it was Clone, but they said, things like the meetups and this podcast is putting a, it puts a face to
Yeah.
the avatar, and it makes it tougher to be mean to people when they're personified in some way or humanized.
It's a real person that you're telling his shit now, instead of,
Because,
just a,
like, when you meet Jelly in person, he's the nicest guy in the world. I mean, I loved hanging out with him, and we've hung out a couple times now, and, he you wouldn't connect the online personality with his in-person personality.
Yeah, that's really common just in general, that people, anonymous on the internet, you turn into, there's no consequences when you don't know anybody, but especially when there's this, a league that's been going on for years and years, it gets tougher and tougher to, be mean to people. When it gets really bad when you're playing like something where it's you play with somebody once and never have to talk to them again, then it can get really tough.
Let's see. I don't ha I only the only thing else on my list that I was going to hassle you about a little bit is what's your fascination with Pokemon?
I have a fascination with Pokemon.
Well, I don't know. I looked at, I saw you on Twitter and you were posting things about Pokemon.
Oh, that was real recent, I think. That was just somebody put like I don't remember what that was. It was just something funny. Yeah, I don't know. Somebody designed every single NBA logo as if they were Pokemon. It was actually kind of good, and
That
so I
is
sent
good.
that to my friend. Like the Denver Doug Trios is the first one I seen.
The reason I was going to bring it up is because at my hotel, no kidding, the week before last, we had the National Pokemon Championships. And people came from all around the country, a couple of international people, to actually play the card
That,
Pokemon.
oh, it was card Pokemon, I see.
Yeah, it was card.
I mean, I could start going into some of my nerdy interests here.
Like what?
It makes CSFBL look like as like a gateway drug in a lot of ways, I guess. There was a period where I did play online like Pokemon battles. It was actually a lot. There was a lot of strategy, a lot more than you would expect. It's like a very complicated rock, paper, scissors game. It was actually, you're not of the Pokemon generation, so I assume you
I haven't played
never
it,
even played it.
no.
Yeah, but like, the games came out, I was like 9 years old, and it was like the biggest shit. Like, we had, they had to ban it from our school because it was like all anyone was doing. You were sitting in class on your Game Boy playing a
Was
Pokemon.
it like similar to Dungeons and Dragons?
No, it's nothing like that. So you have no idea what it is at all, do you?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, man. You have,
I'm
like,
missing out.
yeah, no, I don't know if you're missing out. Yeah, you have like you like go around like catching little animals and then you make them fight. It's like Michael Vick's like kind of dream world. You
So
stuff
it's
them in a
like.
little ball and then you throw them at people and then the Pokemon pops out and then they whack each other. And it's like
Is it kind of like Mech Warrior? Where you'd
yeah,
build up your robots and then they'd fight?
I
There's a
don't know what
game.
MechWarrior is, but it's probably something relatively similar to that. So you give them like moves and it's like t and then goes back and forth turns. So you basically it's like what I was doing was all mind games. It was just the other person's gonna do this, and so how do I react to that? And like figuring out what they're gonna do. Anyway, yeah. So I played a lot of stuff like that. Basically, in college when I wasn't as soon as I quit CSFBL, I just was like there was a gaping hole of like dumb internet games to play. So I played a lot in the last 4 years.
Well, there's like we came up with one, a game within a game with all the Wolf games that we do.
Yeah, pretty much. That was yeah, I'm sad I missed those as well, a lot of big ones.
Yeah.
That's definitely something
Well,
that's
and
awesome.
you ran a really good one too. You started it out with a video and everything.
Oh, that first one.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that was good.
that was funny. I think I did that mostly because my girlfriend had given me these like big fuzzy bear slippers as a gift once, and so I was like, those kind of look like wolf paws. And I made that video and just talked about I had that little slideshow about all the people who had left. That was good.
Yeah, surprisingly, the Wolf game hasn't come up on a podcast before because that accounts for, I think, 7 of the 10
Large,
largest threads we've
including
had.
the one that broke the forums, right?
And the Wolf game gets me pretty involved because I'll reread the thread multiple times in
And
a
you'll feel
day.
the emotions again? Oh,
Yeah.
I see, I
No,
see.
no, no, no. I mean, while I'm playing, because
Yeah.
like I really do try and play it forensically and read into it, and I'll get myself way too immersed into it. And I wonder if I could calculate the lost work hours that I've spent having meetings behind closed doors when I was really reading
Oh,
the Wolf
really?
game.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, as much you can put as much effort into it as you generally want. It's hard for me to get that intense because I just feel like I'm just gonna get killed night one anyway. And then you put all that effort in, and then you just get eaten randomly, and it's all for naught.
Yeah,
But yeah, no, they're a lot of fun.
you got caught this time
This
right
time,
off the
yeah,
bat, yeah.
there was nothing I could do. It was the first time. This is the thing. There's a not only have we played Wolf games. I've played things similar like that before. I'd ever played one on these boards. And then there's a Battlestar Galactica board game, which is actually a decent amount of fun. Where there's it's basically the same idea, is that there's a bunch of humans trying to like get back to Earth or whatever. And then one of the five players, whoever many you have at the table. One or two of them is a Cylon, is a robot, like an undercover agent trying to sabotage them all and kill them everybody. And so it's basically the same thing as a wolf game in a lot of ways. And throughout all the games that I've ever played, I have never ever been a wolf.
Oh,
The
really?
first never I've ne I've always been part of the unknowing majority. One time at the Battlestar Galactica, like they you deal out the cards, I was dealt to be the undercover agent, and there was a misdeal, so we did it, and I wasn't one. And then I thought, and Jelly ran that crazy game, that burnt clone out from Wolf Games Forever,
Yeah.
the backwards
The
one,
upside down
the
game,
upside
yeah.
down one. And I was like, yes, I'm a wolf, I get to fucking kill people
Oh,
and
yeah.
everybody else. And so this was the first time I was a serial killer, so I'll take it. And yeah, I got eaten by the other fucking serial killer because he thought I was just like because he didn't understand what the I was so like thanks Dina. Yes, the first time I didn't, and like And I even got caught the first night. So my whole strategy was, how do I not kill somebody so I can get converted and become a villager and win? And so, yeah, it was, maybe it's just not meant to be.
Damn, Tino. I mean, that couldn't have worked out any better for the village than to
Yeah.
have a serial killer kill the other serial killer.
And then I purposely targeted a guy who I figured the wolves were going to target so that there would be like a double, or he'd be blocked or something like that. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. All
I have
right.
to say,
Oh, go ahead.
talking about wolf games, it's funny because I know you, I ran that prison one too,
Yeah.
and I know you like that,
I did.
and I'm pretty sure everybody else who played it hated it. It's the funniest thing, the reaction I got from it, where people was like, "This is dumb," and then you were like, because I think you just got like the best role where you could just
I could do
like
anything.
you dicked around forever. It was the
I
best.
totally made up my role.
Yeah,
Yeah, I was,
absolutely.
yeah, I just
As you were
went
going along.
way off the grid with it, and I just kept making stuff up, and I think that's why people didn't like it, because I had everybody so baffled as to what the game layout was, and
Yeah, you were leading people around as if you were some kind of leader when you had, were in no way like should have been a leader. Like if you had been the wolf or whatever in that game, like you would have won so badly because everyone was eating out of your hand the entire game.
yeah, that's what got me in trouble. Like the second wolf game, is I decided to only post in haiku or something stupid, and then everybody just got pissed off at me. So I kind of have a history of going off the grid. That's why nobody trusts me, and I always get seen night one.
Yeah. Oh, and just one real quick thing. I know you probably want to wrap it up.
No, I don't care. We can keep going. We broke Max into two. We can keep
That's
going.
true.
Yeah.
Because I just heard I was just listening to the first part of Max second or Max second part, and you mentioned that you talk about guys giving other guys blowjobs in every single one of these. So I figured we'd keep that going. I just was thinking, and I did that unfinished tournament of TCL tournament thing a while ago, and I had one of the rounds be like you have
Oh,
to either
yeah.
fight or fuck your competitor, and I posted like that crazy f I had I don't I think I was like on high on something, and I posted that crazy thing, and then I deleted it and changed it after you had already recorded your video. Yeah, just thinking about that.
Yeah, well, and I had this idea that I was going to come out with the scrub picture and the Tino
Yeah.
album and all that stuff. And then you did that, and I was like, what the fuck is he thinking about? Like, fighter, fuck. Like, what is this? And then, so I was sitting around, and I was like, what am I going to do? So I came up with that pseudo Saw video,
Yeah.
and I don't know. Like you said, I kind of just made it basically applicable to your rules, but then kind of did my own
Veered
thing.
off course.
Yeah.
I think that's generally the way you tend to roll.
Yeah.
You're gonna go in the direction you want to go in, regardless of where people set you off.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's everything on my list. Anything else that you want to throw
No,
out there for the
that was
public?
good. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to keep talking, but I think I ran out of things to say.
Yeah, I much appreciate you taking the time out to do this.
Yeah, of
We
course.
had this was great. We had a lot of stuff to talk about. So, with that, at 1 hour and 21 minutes, I'm going to throw this whole thing up there as one podcast. If people can't handle 1 hour and 20
All
minutes,
right.
screw them.
Sounds good.
All right. Rent, thank you very much for being on the podcast,
Thank
and
you.
we are out of here.
$6,351 Sims. 6,300 remembered so clear. 6,351 Sims. How do you measure your success here? In highlights, a brunette. In forum fights in the trade market. With pictures, pedophiles, batters, or real life. In 6,351 Sims. How do you measure your success here? How about rings? How about rings? How about rings? Measured on the curve.